Good morning. It is time to get up with Clip City, looking more like Chip City once again. Has a sleeping giant been awakened? This dynamic duo is back on track. Meanwhile, a no-hitter, and that's not all. You'll hear why the numbers suggest last night we saw one of the best pitching performances of all time. And they're getting it together in New England. We'll take you there, as there's increasing reason to believe this combination could be among the league's best right from the start. All that and more as we get up with you here on ESPN. I'm Mike Greenberg in Bristol, Connecticut on this Wednesday morning. It was a very interesting and impactful night in the NBA's bubble last night, and very little of it had to do with the action on the floor. Let us start there, and it begins with this game between the Clippers and the Mavericks and what has been such a fascinating series. And Luka Doncic has been the primary reason why. So brilliant in Game 4, playing again without his teammate Kristaps Porzingis last night. Middle of the first, and this was all Clippers right from the go. Kawhi Leonard has been so good in this series and gotten little attention because Luka's been so good. Luka, meanwhile, struggling on this night, one of his five turnovers. Other end of the floor, oh, what a welcome sight for the Clippers. Paul George knocking down a three. He and Kawhi were combined for 24 in the first quarter. Third quarter, it's all Clippers. They're up 26 points. Paul George, he would score 35. That is more than he had in the previous three games combined. And his teammates knew how important it was. Game is all but decided already. Tim Hardaway Jr. getting ready to take a free throw after a shooting foul. Doc Rivers challenges. The refs don't allow Hardaway to take the shot. Rick Carlisle doesn't like it. He gets thrown out. It was just a bad night for the Mavs all the way around, but a very good night for that man. Kawhi, 32 points on 12 of 19 shooting. Fourth quarter, it's all over. But the counting, that's Montrezl Harrell throws it down. Again, George with 35. Doncic, 22, but not near enough. Clippers win huge, 154 to 111. But that was the action on the floor. After the game, very little of the conversation had to do with basketball. And that got the most attention was this from an emotional Doc Rivers, who has been around the NBA for such a long time, such a well-respected figure, addressing the shooting of Jacob Blake and his own frustrations over the lack of social justice in our country. Here was Doc last night.
All you do is keep hearing about fear. It's amazing to me why we keep loving this country and this country does not love us back. And it's really so sad. Like, I should just be a coach. And it's so often reminded of my color. We're the ones that need to be scared. We're the ones having to talk to every black child. What white father has to give his son a talk about being careful if you get pulled over? It's just ridiculous. And it just keeps going. There's no charges. Breonna Taylor, no charges, nothing. All we're asking is you live up to the Constitution. That's all we're asking for everybody, for everyone. Thank you.
Powerful words from Doc Rivers last night, and he was by no means the only one talking about those issues, and we will cover that here. David Fizdale and the great Vince Carter are with me this morning. And gentlemen, we will talk about basketball later in the show, but that certainly didn't feel like the place to start. So Vince, I would just love to hear your thoughts, as you heard Doc there and you have followed all that has happened and all the conversation that has come from the NBA bubble and the leadership they are providing. What thoughts do you have this morning?
Well, guys, let's start with this right here. Where's the lie? Where's the lie in what he said? Everything he said hit home, hearing it again. And it is fear. And I have young kids. And at their young age right now, I am having those type of conversations, maybe not in depth as I would have with my oldest or cousins or friends, but it's kind of like, hey, you have to be careful with the police. It's not like, hey, when you're in trouble, you go over to that cop right there and you ask for help. You know, it's just right now, I saw a post from Snoop and he showed the difference in how cops are handling different races. And right there, it just hits home. It's like this guy's pulling a knife on a cop and everybody's kind of standing back, just pointing, but not one shot was fired. This guy was breaking up a fight, checking on his kids, and he shot in the back 7 times. I mean, this can't happen. And we need to be on this doorstep of the captains, of the police stations, and whoever needs to fix these problems. That's the doorsteps we need to be on today.
It's worth pointing out it was not in that piece of the sound that we ran, Doc Rivers. It was a lengthy comment. He did point out that his own father was a police officer, which I think feels relevant in the conversation here. Coach Fiz, I'll just give you the floor. What thoughts do you have this morning?
You know, he hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, this propaganda is being put out about our community that people should be afraid of us. And that we're the problem, and we're going to come invade the suburbs and you know, hurt your property value and bring crime and all of this other crap that's being spewed. And ultimately, let's be honest, Doc hit it. You know, we're the ones that should be afraid. We're the ones giving our kids the talk. You know, we talk about our kids. I'm still afraid. You know, I get pulled over or I see a cop's lights flashing near me. Hell, I'm afraid. So it's not just me fearing for my son. It's me fearing for my own life. And so, you know, you look at the violence that's been perpetuated in the United States constantly from a domestic terrorism standpoint. And that ain't black men that's doing that most of the time. That's not black women doing that. You know, and so when you talk about being afraid for your life, you know, we have to really start addressing our fear. And that's why we're out screaming at the top of our lungs that Black Lives Matter.
Gentlemen, thank you both for those thoughts. I'm going to ask you to sit. Go ahead, Vince. You have another thought. Go ahead.
You know, and I want to say this. And you know, the times are changing. And times are changing when now I walk to the bottom of my driveway to check the mail or take the garbage out and would see a police riding in the neighborhood, checking on the neighborhood or whatever they're doing. And there's hesitation. And now, unfortunately, I'll make sure I have my phone and my ID in my pocket just for that, just in case. It's not because, hey, maybe he'll know who I am, whatever. No, that none of that matters. It's the fear, like Fizz, like Doc, like everyone else is talking about, that we're concerned. And that is a concern of mine, and it's unfortunate. Sometimes when I walk down there, I'm like, I have my ID and my phone in my pocket just in case. That's a problem.
Vince Carter and David Fizdale with me this morning. Gentlemen, stay with me if you would. We'll have more of this conversation and much more on the basketball, but I wanted to point out that this is not this conversation is not restricted to the NBA bubble. Obviously, it is taking place across our country and across the globe. But within the National Football League, for example, the Detroit Lions canceled practice yesterday to protest the shooting of Jacob Blake by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They address reporters as a team in front of their building to deliver a message that they will be part of the change in the U.S. against police brutality. And I have more of my crew with me this morning here, my friends Dominique Foxworth and Ryan Clark and Kimberly Martin. And Neek, I will just start with you again. The impact of this shooting being felt across the sports world and so far beyond that, of course. I just would love to hear what thoughts are on your mind this morning.
I mean, listening to everybody speak and the two guys you just had speak and listening to RC talk about it on the radio this morning is just, frankly, it's hard to not tear up. And it just makes me think about what it must be like to be white. Something I've never experienced in my life and I never will experience. But to be black is never something that I would be upset about or bothers me. I'm proud and happy to be black. But to be black is to always be two things in American culture. You can never just be, as Doc said, I should just be a coach. You can never just be a coach. You can never just be a student. You can never just be a man. You can never just be a woman. You can never just be the one thing that it is that you want to be, because you are always black in this country. And that comes with an extra burden. Unfortunately, it comes with an extra responsibility. In this case, the responsibility seems to fall disproportionately on black people to fix what is wrong with this nation, to force this nation to be to live up to the ideals that it says that it wants to be. And you hear people talking about making America great again or making America great, like it never ever was. Like it wasn't. We as black people are trying our best. And to Doc's point, like it's hard to understand why this country doesn't love the people who have sacrificed the most to set this country up to be the superpower that it is. You can go all the way back to slavery, or you can go to fighting in wars and coming back and not being properly rewarded with the GI Bill, or you can go to redlining, all the different sacrifices that we've endured and injustices that we've endured. We still provide a net positive to this country, and still we are awakened by videos of people getting knelt on, women being shot in their own homes and no one being charged, people being shot in the back in front of their own children. And it just comes back to the first thought I had is like, what it must feel like to be white in this country, to not have to concern yourself with that, and have a choice, frankly, to wake up in the wake of all that news and have a choice. Am I going to engage in this or am I not? I don't have a choice. Kimberly doesn't have a choice. Ryan doesn't have a choice. Vince doesn't have a choice. Fizz doesn't have a choice. This is our lot in life. We were born as black people in this country, and a country that does not like us or love us, despite what contributions we continue to make.
Kimberly, what are your thoughts there? Dominique, there's so many things I'd love to say to you, because there are plenty of people who don't feel that way. I hope you know that there are plenty of people who don't feel that way. I understand why it must feel sometimes like that isn't the case, but there are plenty of people who don't feel that way, and I hope that when you're here with us and with me, you know that that's true.
I mean, it's not an individual, it's not an individual level. I think the evidence is out there. Like, Mike, you and I are friends. I have plenty of white friends to the degree that it matters, and I think plenty of white individuals care and love me, but the evidence is there. This country is not fair, and until it is closer to fair, the evidence is there that overwhelmingly this country does not care about us. It does not love us. It is not interested in us advancing in any way. Like that, no one can argue with the evidence, and I understand no single person can fix it or change it, but the evidence is the evidence, and that's it's an unfortunate fact, and I think it is true that when people wake up in the morning, white people in particular, they have a choice. They can decide whether to engage in issues of social justice or not as they pertain to black people. We don't have a choice. We are the issue. We are born into it. We wake up into it. We die in it. We go to sleep in it, and we wake up and we're still in this same situation, hoping that we can do anything to change, which is why you see athletes, frankly, pushing any button they can, pulling any lever they can. You hear NBA players saying they may not play in playoff games, something that I'm sure they've dreamt about doing. They're willing to do anything to make the rest of the country feel the pain that we feel on a regular basis.
Kimberly, what thoughts do you have this morning?
Honestly, looking at NBA coaches and players, I actually hope somebody shows Jerry Jones that Doc Rivers video. Because if at this point in time, after everything we've seen, if you still need your players to come to an anthem compromise, that tells me that you have not been paying attention. That shows me how much privilege you have to not even be affected by what we're seeing. It shouldn't take, like Dominique said, it shouldn't take a black man getting shot in the back seven times. It shouldn't take a black woman being sprayed with bullets in her bed by police. It shouldn't take a cop's knee on a black man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds for white NFL coaches, white NFL teammates to say, I see it. I understand now that that the black people that I know, that their lives, they live their lives differently. They have to understand certain things. They have to move a certain way. And for Jerry Jones, I mean, why was Drew Brees dragged this offseason? Because he didn't understand that talking about the anthem just takes away from all the issues that people of color are talking about right now. And Jerry Jones, I really hope he watches that video and other people, because if Roger Goodell, he can have all the conversations he wants to have, the uncomfortable conversations with black people he wants to have, but clearly there is a disconnect and he doesn't speak for all 32 owners.
RC?
I don't know, man. You know, we talked about fear. I think what people don't understand is that becomes anger. And Kimberly mentioned having uncomfortable conversations. Nah, that's not uncomfortable to have a conversation when you make $40 million a year, when the system is set up for you. It don't matter how much Doc Rivers cries, Jerry Jones is not going to be a billionaire. He's not going to be white. He's not going to have the same friends and run in the same circle that he already does. And, you know, you are right, Greeny. Like, I think Dominique, Kimberly, we all understand that on an individual level, there are good people. You know, they're good white people, black people, Asian, Mexican. Like, we understand that. And then and when Colin Kaepernick began his protest, it wasn't to fix a system that is broken. It was to try to change a system that works perfectly for the people it was built to work for. And when Doc Rivers is crying, that's fear, that's anger, that's hurt. And everything that he says is 100% true. He said he should just get to be a coach, but that's not just his responsibility. His responsibility is to coach. His responsibility is to parent. His responsibility is to teach, is to educate not only other young African Americans, but educate America about what it is to be a black man. And it's not just what it is to be a black man. I got an opportunity to speak at a town hall here locally last week. And, you know, I was supposed to be, you know, one of the speakers that people could listen to and that people could ask questions to. And I ended up moving off the panel to the side to listen to other activists, to listen to other people who have dedicated their lives to pushing the plight of black people in America forward. And what I learned was, there's a different level of hurt, of murder, of evil, of discrimination, of racism, just within the black community, right? We can talk about black men get treated a certain way. Black women, the most devalued gender or people on this earth, who are always standing for black men, who are always taking care of them, but yet are undervalued or devalued at every opportunity that people get. For black trans women to be dying at an alarming rate, but nobody's talking about it. Like, that's the entire thing. Like, we're just talking about social justice. We're talking about being able to stop a fight and go check on your children, right? But we're not talking about being able to walk into a church in South Carolina and kill 9 black people. We're not talking about being pissed off about having to wear a mask, shooting an AK-47 at cops, and being subdued and taken in for your day at court. See, we don't get those opportunities. And so when we don't get those opportunities, you're damn right we're fearful. But we're also angry and we're also hurt. And when the Detroit Lions get together and they make a protest, because don't get it confused. What the NBA doing is a demonstration, right? Now the organizations have taken control of the demonstrations of the protests, and now they're saying, we will allow you to do this, which is why we don't talk about what happens pregame anymore, because what happens pregame anymore, we're used to. What happens pregame now is like, oh, okay, they can do this. Y'all can do this. Y'all can have this. The reason we're talking about what Doc Rivers did, because it was real, because it was from his heart. The reason we're talking about what the Detroit Lions did, because it was a step away from the normal, and because the normal is black people getting shot and us continuing to live life. That's the normal. The normal is me having this conversation I had with you guys about Jordan early on in the year and still having to have the conversation now and relive it, because y'all were trying to get me to tell the story so people understood what it was like to be a black father that had a black child who was dealing with being called the N-word, who was dealing with racism, who people were threatening to weaponize the police in hopes that people would stop killing black people, understand what's going on, and actually give some freaking help. But what you ain't seen is that the people that ain't gonna change, ain't gonna change. And as long as we're in a system that is working perfectly for the people that it's supposed to work perfectly for, nothing will be changed. Because see, now that they can control the demonstrations, now that there is that, now that they've quieted some of the rioting, quieted some of the looting, quieted some of the protests, and changed some symbols, they feel like they don't have to change the system. And because right now we're trying to figure out this election and we're trying to get people to vote and people to understand that their vote matters because it starts at the top, right? We're getting drawn away from the fact that black people still getting shot, that we're protesting, that things are being set on fire, that we're working to change rules, that the NBA is talking about not playing games when these people deserve to play their games because they worked their whole freaking life to earn the right to play that game. But they may have to give that up, not so they can be okay, just so other people can too. And Vince talking about bringing his ID and bringing his phone, that's because don't nobody care that he Vince Carter. Because before he was Vince Carter, before he stuck his elbow in the rim, before he went between the legs and said it was over, he was born black, and that's not going to change. And I wanted to be calm. I wanted to sit here and let Kimberly talk and let Dom talk and let Greeny talk and just let y'all understand and maybe bring some points and some facts and some issues that people could grasp and hold on to. But when we are asking for other people to look at black men so they can feel what black men feel and so they can understand what black men can understand, Dominique put it right. I wonder what it's like to be white. Because being white not only gives you the choice of being an ally, it gives you the choice of whether or not you even want to understand, because you ain't never got to deal with it. And so for me, I'm going to keep doing the work that I'm doing. I'm going to keep being grateful that Get Up and that Greeny and that Pete and that Dave allow us this opportunity to talk, because I remember when I wore a Colin Kaepernick jersey on TV that when I walked off, I was told that's something you cannot do. Because I had to make a choice that morning. I got to make a choice on what side I was going to stand on. And people need to understand that that side is not black. That side is not white. That side is right. That side is correct. That side is human. And what we have to understand, too, is when these lives are taken of unarmed black men, of unarmed black women, of unarmed members of the LGBTQ plus community that are black, those lives are not given back. We don't get to see those people no more. And when y'all forget about them and when y'all not talking about them, there are still families here who mourn them. We got to do better, y'all. And in the NBA, thank you for at least allowing people the opportunity to talk. Matt Patricia, the Detroit Lions, thank you for allowing your people, your players, your humans to talk and giving them a voice. I hope the conversation continues, but I hope it doesn't have to continue because we keep getting shot.
Beautifully said. And I promise you, if only one thing, that conversation will continue here. I will take a short break. We have a lot of other things we're going to get to here this morning, and there will be more of this conversation as well. Let me just go right to a break, guys. We'll come back in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify could do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/getup, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/getup to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/getup.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
We are back on Get Up, and let's get to the sports news of the day. The game of the day yesterday came unquestionably between the White Sox and the Pirates. You were looking at Lucas Giolito on the mound for Chicago, getting some help in the seventh with a no-hitter through six. Brian Reynolds hit one up the middle, but watch Tim Anderson make a nice play and get the runner at first. And so the no-no goes all the way to the ninth. And Giolito, looking to make history, needs three more outs. The first is Jerod Dyson. The 13th strikeout of the day for Giolito. He's two outs away. Next batter, Jose Osuna. Lifts one. Right field. Here comes Adam Engel. We're one out away from a no-hitter. Eric Gonzalez comes to the plate, standing between Giolito and history. There has not been a no-hitter in this baseball season. Uh-oh, did he break it up right there? No, he did not. Look at Engel make the great play in right field, the first White Sox no-hitter since April of 2012. Sox win it by a score of 4-0. History for Lucas Giolito.
I always envisioned that I'd throw a no-hitter in the big leagues. If you were to ask me about it in 18, I probably would have been like, what the hell are you talking about? But I knew it was in there. I knew it was possible that I'd be able to pull one off, and I'm glad that we were able to get it done.
And the Giolito got the job done by missing bats and missing a lot of them. 30 swing and misses, the second most in a no-hitter in the era they've been tracking pitches. The only one with more was Nolan Ryan in 1990. It was the most swings and misses by any pitcher since James Paxton had 31 of them in 2018. So a genuinely brilliant performance from Lucas Giolito. And we will have baseball tonight on ESPN. Aaron Judge back for the Yankees as they take on the Braves. 7 Eastern, that's followed by Mike Yastrzemski and the Red Hot Giants going for their 8th straight win when they host Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. It's all on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, so basketball, let's run the floor. And news yesterday before any of the games were played, 76ers general manager Elton Brand says there are no plans to trade Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. He acknowledges the team lacked intensity at times, part of the reason for their bad record on the road this year before the seeding games began. Yesterday, our Bruce Bowen was on this program talking about Embiid. We'll play that for you a little bit later. Meanwhile, in the action on the floor last night, Jamal Murray continued his ridiculous run in the bubble, scored 42, added 8 assists, 8 boards. Nuggets beat the Jazz by 10. They force a game 6. He's the first player since 1977 to record back-to-back 40-point playoff games with no turnovers. And then as we open the show, Paul George scored 35, a huge bounce back game for him. Kawhi Leonard scored 32. Clippers beat the Mavs 154-111. Here was Paul George after the game.
Whatever it was, I mean, the bubble got the best of me. I was just in a dark place. I really wasn't here. I checked out. So these past couple games, it was just difficult.
I had, you know, talks with a psychiatrist, our team psychiatrist, and I mean, I just felt it. My energy, my spirit just changed. I felt just in a great place. And that's all I needed, you know, that's all I needed. I drowned out the noise. And I came here and I knew what my job was. I left it all on that court. And when I got off the court, I checked out. And now I'm ready to move forward.
So again, the 35 points from George last night, more than he had in the previous 3 games combined. And Coach Fizdale and Vince Carter with me here this morning. And guys, we'll talk some basketball here. And so let's get into that there. Vince, what did you see that was the difference from Paul George last night after he had struggled so much the previous 3 games?
I saw a comfortable Paul George, a confident. And I feel like he just went out there and played the game of basketball. And whatever was worrying were bothering him or in the back of his mind once he stepped in between the lines last night. He was a different beast. And the one thing I noticed, he was not settling for three-point shots or anything in the first quarter. He was attacking. He was getting to the rim. He was trying to get as many easy baskets as he possibly could. Coach Fizz, I recall him telling me that, hey, when you're struggling, get as close to the basket, get some layups, get some free throws as you can. and then work your way from there. And I noticed how he did that. He was trying to get downhill, and he was trying to get fouled and or get a layup, and then you work your way out from there once you see the ball go through the net a couple of times.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about the psychology piece of this. You heard Paul George very openly there talking about how it look, these are unimaginable circumstances these players are playing in. They're in a bubble away from their families, away from their lives. We have the circumstances that we spent the first 25 minutes of our show talking about today, where so much of the focus and attention has been on issues of social justice. And through all of that, these guys are trying to play their best basketball. So it became difficult for Paul George, and he openly acknowledges that as his coach. How do you handle something like that?
I applaud a guy like that. You know, I think it shows incredible courage. You know, a lot of he's very open about how he was feeling. He was very vulnerable about it. And I think that being that vulnerable and open shows a courage to me. And so especially for a black man to talk about something that he's going through mentally, Vince can attest to this, that there's a stigma in our community that you shouldn't talk about mental health and what you're going through mentally, and it's weak, and it's, you know, it's not something that's looked upon well. So for him to do that and step up and say that, you know, was a big thing. And I think it helped clear his head to go out there and perform the way he did.
I think it's remarkable. I mean, I think one of the things that fans sometimes underestimate is just the amount of mental focus that is required to play these games at the highest level. And when you're doing it under these circumstances, which to call them adverse would obviously be so understating the circumstance. I think it was well handled by George. And look, if he gets going, they obviously become very dangerous. Before I let Coach Fizz go for the day, Coach, I know there was a moment that you wanted to recall when you in Memphis were coaching a little bit younger Vince Carter. Go ahead, Coach. Take us through this.
Hey, listen. Come on. This guy is 40 years old now. I run a drop play to him from Z-Bo. I think it was Z-Bo that dropped it to you.
Yeah, I think
this guy spins baseline and does a 360 the wrong way. And I'm standing over. Thank God. You know, he just made me feel better about my age and that it's still some kind of hope for older guys. And I was just blown away when he did it. We all gave him hell after the game and told him he's sandbagging and holding back on us. But, you know, that was just one of many memories I have with Vince. He was such a pro. He was always there early. He always practiced. He was always in the weight room after the game with the young guys. He even built out a bedroom for a rookie on our team so that he had another place to stay and spend time somewhere outside of his apartment, you know. And so it was an honor to coach Vince and to know that I can't wait to get my jersey signed because all my Hall of Famers are on the wall. So I got Ray Allen over my shoulder. You might not be able to see it, but you going in there, and it was just a real pleasure to be your coach.
Thank you, my brother. Always.
That's such a nice moment. Can I just ask you one question, Vince, all kidding aside? But because I see guys like you make these moves that astonish all of us. Is there anything premeditated in that? Like when you make that first spin and you're going and now you see the defender coming, is it purely instinctual or do you actually have time to think in your head, I think I'll do a 360 in the opposite direction and lay it up from the other side of the rim?
So I can tell you it's, you know, it's instinctual. You know, when you play the game long enough, you just kind of have different moves in your arsenal. I know people are going to be like, wait, what? Like, but sometimes, you know, you have an option. So it's like, yeah, go take the foul. And I knew it was a big man who's a shot blocker. If I could get to the other side of the basket, I can make the layup. I have a chance to make the layup. And I know it sounds crazy. I've used this move a couple of times, so I felt comfortable doing so, even though some people at that age would say, hey, man, what are you doing? But I still felt comfortable like, hey, I could do this. And it worked.
Grady, listen, when you can jump to the moon, the amount of things you can do in that time span gives you some moments of creativity. See, you and I, we can jump over a piece of paper. This guy jumps, he can get up there and he can drink coffee, he can have breakfast, and then he'll figure everything out at the end of the move. So That's he's playing with an unfair deck over there.
That's a nice moment. Thank you, guys. Thank you for that. Nice to have a smile today. Coach Viz, thanks a million. Vince, stay with me as we continue here. Meanwhile, I want to remind everybody, we have three more NBA playoff games coming your way. Starting tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern time, Game 6, Nuggets and Jazz. Then, Game 1 of the Eastern semifinals, Jason Tatum and the Celtics taking on the Raptors. And then at 9 Eastern, can Kawhi and the Clippers put away Luka and the Mavs? That'll be Game 6 of that series. All three games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Let's get to football. Aaron Rodgers coming off back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons. He's had a few strong days of practices here. And I want to go back to something that we played for you yesterday. Rodgers saying that he's been watching tape of himself from back in 2010 and saw something that he thinks will be useful now. Listen to Aaron Rodgers.
I just noticed something from like a clip from 2010, actually. And it kind of hit me. And I know it was 10 years ago, but the next day I went out to practice and started working on what I saw in the film. I think it's just a good reminder for all of us. The tape of yourself can often be the most important to watch because you can always pick things up. I won't get into exactly what I saw, but it definitely has helped me the last couple of days.
So it was intriguing that he said that. And so yesterday, RC, we had Greg McElroy look at tape that was 10 years old and try and figure out what it is he thought he was seeing. Why are you – okay, you're not even going to let me finish the sentence. Why are you giving me that look?
Because y'all know what happened 10 years ago, Greeny. And y'all knew why y'all brought this back today. You know what? Earlier you talked about how much you loved us and how this was a safe space. This ain't no safe space, Greeny. This is a space where every time y'all bring up Aaron Rodgers, I am constantly attacked. You know what Aaron Rodgers did? Aaron Rodgers went back and watched the tape, and he was like, boy, I was good as hell. I'm about to go back and start doing the same things. It ain't nothing specific, Greeny. It's, oh, he's covered. I dropped that dime. He's covered. I'm going to drop that dime. He's covered too. I'm gonna look this way and drop the dime that way. You know why? Because I was that good. That's all you could see if you go back to 2010. Aaron Rodgers doing things that he was blessed to do. Like when Aaron Rodgers was walking through heaven with his shopping cart, there's a dude that's right in front of him, right? That was born in the same hospital. That dude has no athletic ability because his shopping cart is empty because Aaron Rodgers got all of his talent. In 2010, Aaron Rodgers was doing things that we had never seen. That football, that quarterback play had not even caught up to yet. And now that we see Patrick Mahomes, I think we've become desensitized and we forget how good Aaron Rodgers was. And maybe he needed that reminder. Maybe he needed that reminder for confidence. Maybe he needed that reminder for understanding. But Aaron Rodgers was a flat-out baller then, and I think he could still do some of the same things. So this is a bad, bad sign for all the NFC North teams, NFC teams in general, because if Aaron Rodgers gets back to that, Green Bay could actually win, even though they have a lack of weapons everywhere else.
Nick and Kimberly, I just have a moment, but Ryan's feelings aside, Nick, what we surmised yesterday was that perhaps because Rodgers wasn't quite as comfortable in his new offense or whatever it was, that he wasn't stepping into his throws. That's what that play actually demonstrated, and he seemed to be throwing a lot off his back foot, and maybe that's what he's seeing on the tape there. What is your expectation?
I mean, my expectation is that that Ryan nailed it. Like in 2010, he was a different player than he is now. And I think he can summon that on occasions now. But the idea that he can be a perfect quarterback, which is what he was throughout the course of an entire season, is probably unlikely. It's just important that he be able to summon it at certain moments. But I'm with RC. Like, I made it out of that first segment without crying. I was proud of myself. And then you showed that picture of RC sitting there looking sad. And I started to well up because that's dirty. Y'all show Vince Carter doing 360s. And he's your RT getting sixth up. That's not fair.
That's right. It probably wasn't fair. For the record, Greg McElroy picked that clip at random. I promise you that. That said, Kimberly, okay. what is your expectation from Rodgers and his mentality going into this season?
I'm glad he's digging in the crates for some 2010 magic because I expect to see Aaron Rodgers pulling rabbits out of his hat again. I expect to see some wizardry. Why? Because what have we talked about all offseason ad nauseum? The fact that he doesn't have a ton of weapons and the draft came and went and they didn't stockpile those receivers. So I really think this year, Aaron might feel like it's all on him And last year, he threw 26 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions. I understand he's not as young as he used to be in 2010, but he doesn't need to be. He's smarter. He's more experienced. And I think he's got that fire now where it's like, it's all on me, so I'm going to show people that I still got it.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. We have a lot more to do as we go on. Again, Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers blowing out the Mavericks last night. We will show you more of that. We'll talk more about the importance of that game both on and off the floor as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We're back on Get Up with some eye candy, and we're going to show you Donovan Mitchell. Ryan Clark, can you describe this dunk from Spider Mitchell, please?
Hey, well, here's the crazy thing, Greeny. They did like the reclassification of the height. He's like 6'1". So when you can rear back, go up one hand in traffic and finish like that, that's not that old Vince Carter stuff we're going to do the reverse 360 because we're free. This is Donovan Mitchell in traffic, getting up and making plays. And I used to do that on goals that were 8.5 feet. Once they moved to 10, I was out of there. Donovan Mitchell is a baller.
Tonight on ESPN2, our WNBA coverage continues with Myesha Hines-Allen and the Mystics taking on the Atlanta Dream. That's tonight, 7 Eastern, ESPN2 and the ESPN app. We're back in just a moment. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and Ben Roethlisberger begins this season as the elder statesman in the AFC North. He's 15 years older than Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, 13 years older than Baker Mayfield. Our Mike Tannenbaum thinks age is a factor as he looks at the quarterbacks in that division.
I think Pittsburgh has a championship defense, don't get me wrong, but I think Baltimore is clearly ahead. And I'm just saying, if I had to take the Ben Roethlisberger at 38, who's played 2 games in 2 years, I'll take my chances with Burrow and Mayfield. And Pittsburgh may have the 4th best quarterback this year in the AFC North.
That was quite the take from Mike T the other day here. Kimberly Martin, what is your reaction?
I got one question. Who hurt Mike T? Like, where is this coming from? What did Big Ben do to him? I mean, I love Mike T, but I'm not dying on that hill with him. Look, Ben, no one's asking him to throw for 5,000 yards, right? Although he did that in 2018 at age 36, so it's still possible. I mean, even he's healthy. He's not feeling pain, and he's returning to a team where he's got the same continuity with the head coach, the skilled players, same system. In that division, even if somehow Burrow and Baker put up better numbers statistically than Ben, I'd rather be Big Ben because of that defense. In a perfect world, yeah, you could mix and match QBs all you want, but look at Pittsburgh. That defense, 10 of 11 starters returning, 3 all pros. Come on, I don't understand the Big Ben hate.
I can see your new move seems to be that when someone says something you disagree with, you feign falling asleep on the air. What is your reaction?
Can we all agree on one thing? From now on, the only Mike T we acknowledge is Mike Tomlin. We are no longer going to let Mike Tannenbaum, Michael Tannenbaum be Mike. The only Mike T we acknowledge is Mike Tomlin because our Mike is tripping. He is really lost it. Listen, I'm not even going to get into all of the how great the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is. We're just going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger with 3 young wide receivers, Johnson, Washington, Juju Smith-Schuster, a very good pass-catching tight end, a stable offensive line, and some backs in the backfield who can run the football. Randy Feigner understands what he has. Ben Roethlisberger says he keeps waiting to feel pain in that elbow, but he's not feeling it. We also have to understand, we're saying this, that he's only played 2 games in 2 years. We ain't played this year yet. He missed last season. The season before, he led the league in passing yards. And now we're going to say that he's going to be the 4th best quarterback in that division? And Kimberly hit it right on the nose. He doesn't have to be the best statistically. He doesn't have to throw for more yards than Baker Mayfield. Doesn't have to throw for more touchdowns than Joe Burrow. What he's going to have to do is make the winning plays in situational football moments. And of the 4 quarterbacks, because there's 4 of them in there, and he said he's going to be 4th.
of the four quarterbacks that are in that division, guess which one has, and even Lamar, I love Lamar, guess which one has made big plays in situational football moments? Because, see, Mike Tannenbaum, he might be old. He might forget the pass to the corner of the end zone to Santonio Holmes. He might forget the pass down the sideline to Antonio Brown to put us in the AFC Championship in 2010. Ben Roethlisberger is going to make the plays needed to be made with this stellar defense to win football games. They will push the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. He's going to be better than Baker Mayfield, better than Joe Burrow, and I'm not acknowledging him as Mike T no more.
Go ahead,
that is
Nate.
Michael Tannenbaum. Nate.
All right. Well, let me try to put together some sort of defense for Michael Tannenbaum, because while I agree with them, it's no way that he's the fourth in the league. I respect that Michael Tannenbaum went out on a limb right here and made this prediction. And I think that it's fair to say that the elbow injury is not a minor thing. It's not like a broken bone in his toe. Like, you need your elbow to throw. And obviously he hasn't felt any pain yet. It's training camp. Nobody's hitting him. There's no problem. And the hope that that Burrow does well in Cincinnati behind a bad offensive line is a lot to ask for. But if I'm picking one quarterback right now to win a game, Ben Roethlisberger ain't going to be the fourth in that division. He's going to be second. Mm-hmm. And Ryan Clark got me a little bit convinced, but the pass is the pass. He's definitely coming behind Lamar Jackson. It's not going to be before Baker and Burrow. Like, that's ridiculous, Michael Tannenbaum.
I have to leave
Poor
it there.
Mike T can't come back to this show. Oh, boy.
We have some news coming off of the radio show this morning out of the NBA bubble that I think is really fascinating. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with that. Kawhi and the Clippers, they win last night, but that's only a small part of the story. We have a developing story from the bubble. We'll get to that next. Get Up on ESPN.